This is Leafs Breakfast.
The Sachter in front. Oh, and a catch by Tavares. And Marner was sitting on the seat of his pants when he centered the puck.
You almost think, did he do that on purpose?
I don't know. Scores! Never mind! Never mind! Mitch Marner blows it by quick! The streak is still on! 21 games!
As heard on TSN 1050 last night, that's Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph on the call. Mitch Marner with a beauty. The goal that made it 4-0 for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the goal that extended his point streak to 21 games. Welcome in the Leafs Breakfast. Aaron Karolnik, Carlo Koliakovo with you. As we do every Friday morning, we welcome in TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger. What's going on, Darren?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Interesting week. Toronto Maple Leafs are buzzing. Is that the new catchword? That's the word we're
all going to
use now moving forward.
Yes. Yeah. So the Toronto Maple Leafs are buzzing. And the most of the boys.
So, with regards to Marner, and let's start there. I mean, another awesome performance, and he scored that goal last night. I mean, that shift as a whole, and you heard it from the call with Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. He's on his ass behind the net, feeds Tavares, who narrowly misses. The puck kind of comes around. He rifles one top shelf with an Ovechkin-esque slap shot. I mean, he did it in style last night, Drex.
He did. I can tell you this, though. I was less impressed by the sitting sauce and more impressed by the slap shot. When I think of Marner, and stories have been written over the last couple of years about how he's worked on his shot and all of that. I mean, you remember he broke into the NHL, as most young forwards do, and, you know, he comes in with a junior shot, not a pro shot. And it's not that it was bad. It just needed some work. He needed to physically get stronger, and he has. We don't often see that shot from Mitch Marner, do we?
No.
Now, we know he's a playmaker, and he's more comfortable with dishing than he is teeing it up in the fashion that he did. But that was a rocket and a perfect exclamation mark on a shift that was full of creativity and effort. And that's really what we've grown accustomed to seeing from Marner to this 21-game streak, right, is just consistency and expect the unexpected. And he delivered one more time last night.
Drags, he hit 21 games. They've got Calgary and they've got Anaheim coming up in the next two games. Do you anticipate this thing ending anytime soon? crazy what he's doing.
Yeah, you do. And it has to eventually. Did Corey Perry on the Rand Drags podcast recently, and that's, you know, a few games back. And now I don't know how much Perry actually played against Marner in a matchup situation, but players, Carly, you know this, right? Like, you don't think that LA went into that game last night thinking, of course, we want to win. We want to secure 2 points. They're in a bit of a battle in the West, but they're also thinking, why can't we be the streak? And then you break it down to individual players. You know, no different than Marner takes a great deal of pride in the fact that he's as good a two-way forward as exists in the game today. You know, there were forwards last night that wanted to shut Marner down, and that'll be the same against the Calgary Flames. So it's impossible to predict when it's going to end because, man, he is just buzzing, there we go again, with confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just is. And when you're surrounded by the players that Mitch Marner plays with, then how do you, you know, try and predict when that streak is going to end? It just, look, it's such a hard 82-game season. The team in general has been rolling for a significant amount of time. You know, I think the easier prediction is going to be that they're due for an off night. When is that? Don't know. Played pretty well last night. Played really well against the Dallas Stars. So there's no reason to bet against them and think that they're not going to stay in the groove. But it just feels like it's so difficult. Because the other teams come ready. For the most part, they come prepared too, right?
Ask Sean Durzi. 200
exactly.
Tickets to the game last night.
Unreal. But that was a fun sidebar, wasn't it? You know,
yeah.
Seeing his mom and dad, and, you know, the Leafs bench is after Durzi, the crowd is after Durzi, and there's mom and dad just loving it,
yeah.
Laughing and having a good time as they should.
So we'll get to Durzi, who is part of an altercation with Pierre Engvall that may require some supplemental discipline in just a second, but some really unfortunate news with Nick Robertson last night. He's in a battle in the corner, falls awkwardly, lands on his shoulder. Sheldon Keefe says it's going to miss a significant amount of time. What can you tell us about what happened to Robertson, Dregs?
Well, not much. I mean, you could see what happened to him. You know, the arm was dragging as he was heading to the dressing room. So it looks like shoulder to me. Seems pretty evident. And you know, if you look at other shoulder injuries around the National Hockey League, not that it's ever been good to have a shoulder problem, but these, you know, shoulder issues seem to be what knee issues once were. And, you know, surgical medicine has come light years in the last decade or so. So who knows what the ultimate diagnosis, prognosis is going to be. My understanding is that he requires more testing and I'm sure imaging today. But for Sheldon Keefe to acknowledge that he's going to miss a substantial amount of time, they already know. They know what the initial diagnosis is. They probably just don't know what the best path is to recovery, and is that surgery or isn't it surgery? So we'll learn some of those details, but man, that kid just can't catch a break. He just cannot catch a break. He's young, so he's got nothing but good things ahead of him from an NHL perspective, but there's also no denying the fact that probably his progress in the NHL, maybe a full-time position in the lineup of the Toronto Maple Leafs, has been somewhat stunted because of history. He's just one of those players that just can't seem to get the hockey gods to smile down on him. So we're going to have to wait and see, but I think we all, you know, we could all assess what it looked like as he was making his way to the dressing room.
Yeah, very unfortunate. And considering a guy that's been given, you know, massive opportunity this season, you just hate to think that this could be another season derailed for him. With another injury. But as AK mentioned before, he asked that about Pierre Engvall. Obviously, he gets a 5-minute major yesterday for tomahawk chopping Sean Durzi. You expect him to be suspended for that play, no?
I do. You know, even give him a game for being dumb. You know, all kidding aside, like, you know, you can't do that. What might prevent suspension or at least limit it to the game would be the fact that it wasn't overly forceful, was it? But you could see there was intent. And if it is forceful, we're talking about a bigger number. And, guys, there's precedent that Bobby Mack alluded to in the postgame coverage on TSN last night. Ryan Johansson got, I think, 2 games for something similar. And Kuznetsov and the Washington Capitals got at least, I think it was a 1-game suspension, again, for something similar. Now, you can Google those two videos and, you know, then try and get into the brain of George Parros and decide how much force was required to elevate to supplemental discipline, which is suspension, and then transfer that back to what Pierre Engvall did last night. And, you know, look, just to take you through the process of Parros and the Department of Player Safety, everybody has probably shared their opinion of that play within that group that Parros trusts. Some of them would say, yeah, that's suspendable. Others would say, probably what I said, that, yeah, okay, it's not the smartest play we've seen. He got a 5-minute major penalty, so the Kings had their chance there, but was it forceful enough to elevate to suspension? Not for me. Well, then ultimately it comes down to Parros making the call to schedule a hearing versus no hearing scheduled, and Engvall gets away with a major penalty. So we'll learn that today.
Dregs, have you ever seen, well, we've seen agents be very vocal about some of their clients, and we don't have to get into names, but Luke Shen's agent decided to take to Twitter yesterday and
share
some praise about Luke Shen. And let's be honest, it was a very truthful assessment about the way Luke Shen is playing. I mean, is he a guy that could be very desirable on the trade market?
Yes. I had this conversation with Matt Sakaris and Blake Price yesterday in Vancouver. What would be the trade value of Luke Shen? And I was asked, could Vancouver get a first-round pick? That feels like a stretch to me.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, you look around the league and what's happened around the trade deadline and the players that have lured first-round picks, that's a lot. I mean, Luke Shen has definitely added life to his game and his career. He has. He's the perfect fit there, but that blue line has been in shambles since the beginning of the year. So it's been about opportunity. The one thing that Luke Shen has in abundance is character. As long as he stays healthy, he plays the right way. He's accountable. He's physical. We saw that in the Montreal game, and he laid out Yuri Slafkovsky and then answered the bell against Arbor Jacki immediately after that. I mean, Luke is just a throwback NHL defenseman. But the one thing that I hesitate, Vancouver, depending on what their direction is, I still think that they're going in a renovation mode here. I still think that there will be a coaching change. But how desperate are they going to be to acquire draft picks or young players? And if the answer is, well, they're going to be desperate, then you have to consider trading Luke Shen at some point. They don't want to right now because of how good a team guy he is. So credit to Ben Hankinson. He was just acknowledging how good a player Luke is and what he would bring to any team, including Vancouver.
Darren, thank you so much for doing this for us, as always. Life is good in Leafs land. I mean, you know, you try to nitpick, you know, we're sitting here, but, I mean, when you beat the Kings 5-0, the Marner point streak. How about the Toronto Maple Leafs team point streak? That's now 13 games in a row with a point. The franchise record is 16, so maybe that's something else we got to look to. Coco?
Yeah, go ahead, bud.
I was just going to say, did Justin Bieber steal that jacket from your closet?
That was outstanding. And was it a poll question this morning or just a flat-out question? Who could rock the beef look, either AK or Carlo? I want to say AK.
I voted him, too. I voted him, too, so don't feel
his
bad.
More diminutive stature, let's put it that way.
But he's calling you small.
Come see me in the gym later, Dregs.
Carlo, I've also seen you in some pretty colorful golf attire.
Yes.
Good point.
I think both of you could pull it off.
That's a very right, diplomatic answer.
I'm a waggle guy, though. Not a Coke guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Darren, thanks for doing this. Have a great weekend. We'll chat with you on Monday.
All right, fellas. Take care.
See you, pal.
That's TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Drecker. Called me diminutive. It's tough. I'm not diminutive.